circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, I want to commence reading at verse 15. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, we shall commence reading at verse 15. Recorded are these words: "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established." Verse 17 says, "And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearers of his holy word. I want to speak for just a little while from the subject: can we all just get along? Many of you are familiar with the infamous beating of Rodney King, and when the episode had ended and things had been brought to light and he had been given his day, that familiar saying was broadcast all over the world: can we all just get along? My brothers and sisters, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has dealt with this issue of getting along in the family so that Christians, believers, brothers and sisters would know how the Lord would desire us to handle issues that will arise in our lives at one time or another. The Bible says it's all right to be angry, but it says sin not. We are humans, and yet it is realized by some of us, not all of us, that even though we are saved and sanctified, filled with the Spirit of God, we are not yet in totality perfected. Which means we've still got some issues that we must deal with and that we must confront. And every now and then, sometimes somebody rub us wrong. Sometimes they do it knowingly. Sometimes they do it unknowingly. But if it's done, it is the responsibility of the one it's done to say to my brother or my sister, first in private, "You've offended me. You have hurt me. You have harmed me. You messed me up." And you try to set the record straight one-on-one. And see, one of the things that I've discovered in church business is that folk don't always do church business like church business ought to be done. And if we are to set the paradigm, if we are supposed to set the example, if we are supposed to be the ones who show the world how to handle issues and difficulties and misunderstandings and mishaps, then my brother and sister, we need to look at ourselves closely at how we handle one another. One of the things I want to look at in this word is, this is an interesting and practical text. This text is going to help us to understand how the Lord wants us to deal with our brother and our sister. Jesus was anticipating the life of the family of God here on planet Earth. And in verse 1 through 14, he tells us how to get in the family, how we must learn to humble ourselves. That's the beginning of understanding that if we're going to have things done the way God wants them to do, we're going to have to let our will go and embrace His will. We can't do things the way we used to do things once we become members of the family of God. We've got to learn that God's way is the way God wants us to operate in His family. When we then become members of the righteous and holy family of God, we are brothers and sisters with everyone who believes in that same faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who enters into the family through Him. As a matter of fact, He said, no man can come to Him or to the Father except through Him. And so when we come through Jesus and establish our relationship with the Father, it is the Holy Ghost who becomes our helper, our comforter, the one who gives us instruction, brings things back to our remembrance, convicts us in our spirit, shares with us the things we should say, the things we should do, etc., etc., etc. We are under new management. And so I don't care if you used to have a temper and could say whatever you wanted to say, and what came up came out. Once you become a child of God, God wants to rearrange all of that, and He wants to straighten out all of that, and He makes you understand how He wants things done. How many know once you become saved, you can't just say anything anymore? When folk make you mad, you can't just cuss. When you stump your foot, mash your finger, you just can't, you know, shoot off a few words and then say, oops, I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. You've got to learn to bridle your tongue. You've got to be careful that you don't, listen, let everything that's in your mouth come out your mouth. Somebody said, everything is true, but you ain't got to say it. Now y'all won't act holier than thou. Everything that is true doesn't necessarily need to be stated, especially if it's not going to be stated in love. Somebody is particularly unattractive. You ain't got to walk up to them and say, you are. Now it may be true, but do you have to say that? No, you ain't got to say it. And if you have to say it, you can find a better way to say it. I'm going to move on. The word says very clearly that after we come in, verse 1 through 14, into the family of God through humility, that now we've got to learn how to relate to one another. See, a lot of us have walked through verses 1 through 14. We've humbled ourselves. We've come into the kingdom. We're part of the family. But we've not yet learned how to relate to one another. God has made all of us uniquely different. We are individuals. And yet, because of our individuality, we must recognize that everybody's not going to be like us. As a matter of fact, it's so difficult for us to be like each other that He decided it would be best that we be like Him. Y'all catch that on your way home. So first of all, we've got to learn to love one another. That's going to be the foundation for which and through which we operate in a spirit of love. Because I don't care what our differences are, if we allow the love of God to permeate in our hearts, if we allow the love of God to show us and how we are and were before Him, I've got news for you. It doesn't matter what anybody else has done you, what anybody else has said about you. When you recognize how God has handled you in your imperfect state and in your most downtrodden state, you will discover that it's easier to love a brother or sister if God could love you. I want you to see something else, because there are some that are, and that's being real, easier to love than others are. Some folk really challenge you to love them. Some of us pull on every ounce of what we have in Christianity to love them. And I mean, listen, we're called to do it. And so we want us to look at this and follow this carefully, the progression of thought. First of all, let's deal with confronting a brother. And that's found in the first five verses from 15 through the 20th. But let's look, if we will, at Matthew 18 and verse 15. It says, moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. And one of the things I want you to see here is it's dealing right now with the personal effect. The personal effect. You see, if we learn how to handle some things, the old folk used to say, if you learn how to nip it in the bud, it won't sprout out to be a great big tree. Some of us could head things off at the path if we just learn how to go to our brother or our sister and not allow stuff to build up and to fester and to get to that point where we become bitter. You see, when we don't communicate, which is what the devil wants us not to do, and then when we do, our communication is contaminated because we have allowed it to fester in us and we've allowed evil thoughts to progress in us, so that now when we talk, it's all negativity. It's all harsh words. It's all mostly one-sided evaluations of the situation, and that's the side of the person that's been hurt. And so first thing I want you to see through the personal effect is he says this, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him, what?
Alone.
See, you will many times head off confrontation if you go to a brother or sister one-on-one in a spirit of love. Number one, they ain't got no audience to act out in front of. They ain't got nothing to prove in front of nobody. You come to them one-on-one. You get them in a setting where you come. You say, my brother, I ask you to speak with me for just a moment because there's something I want to share with you. You know, the other day you said such and such, and it pricked me to my heart, and I had to pray about it. But then the Spirit of the Lord told me to come to you because maybe what you said wasn't what you meant. Maybe what I heard wasn't the way you intended it. So I want to let you know that this is what I got out of, and if it was what you meant, then I just want to let you know you hurt me. Now you give that brother or that sister an opportunity to respond now because you've gone to him or her in love and you've been honest with them and forthright with them. You give them a chance to say, no, that wasn't the way I meant it. And you get an understanding, or you'll get them to say, well, you know what? I'm so sorry. I was upset. Something happened. You get to understand what he or she was going through when they said it. And at the end of that, you get to squash that mess, forgive that person, and you have saved a brother, sister, and fellowship. That's how you do it. And you need to do it as soon as you can do it. All right, listen to this. That's the personal effect. But I want you to look at the plural effect, because if you go to that brother or sister and they say, well, listen, I'm sorry. That's how I meant that, and I still mean that. Okay. But because you love and you have a spirit of love, you say, well, you know what? I just can't let this go, but I see I need somebody else to bear witness to this. So then look at what verse 16 says. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more. Listen at this. Now these one or two more that you bring are not mess makers. You ain't trying to get one or two of your homies or your girls and come brazing back up there. Now, look, I'm going to give you one more chance. And you got your homies or your girls on the side of you there. No, what you do is you get one or two other brothers or sisters, preferably more mature, somebody of a greater position or status that they would respect and would be embarrassed to know that they are acting foolish like that in front of. And you go to them with them and say, my brother, I went, before so-and-so and they acted this way. And I love them with the love of God. And I just want to see if we can work this out. And you give them a chance in front of those one or two other wiser brothers or sisters to get it together. Now, if he says, oh, you done brought reinforcement. Oh, it's like that now. and then gets an attitude and gets irate, then you say, okay, then we go to the third part, which is the official effort. You've had the personal effort. You've had the plural effort. Now you have the official effort. Let's look at verse 17. It says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. In other words, when you recognize that this brother is not operating in the Spirit of God, you actually rebuke him and you renounce him and fellowship with him. Now listen at this, because what you're saying is, if he won't hear the Spirit of the Lord, if he won't have a spirit of love, then he has no fellowship with the believers. Because we're not going to allow that kind of foolishness to perpetuate itself in the ministry. See, sometimes you've got to get to the point, and see, Christians get the attitude like, it's all right for you to walk on me like a rug or like a mat, and I say nothing about it. It's all right for you to say anything you want to say, act any way, and I'm supposed to accept it. No, sir, not if you are a brother or sister. It's one thing if that's a person in the world. It's another thing if it's a brother or sister in the body of Christ. First of all, you ought not be acting like that. And then when you have had multiple opportunities to get it straight, even God in chapter 1 of Romans says, after these people won't get it together, he turns them over to a reprobate mind. There are just some people who just don't want to be helped. And when you get to that point and place where you find somebody like that, you've got to learn how to distance yourself from them. Have no more fellowship with anybody like that. Do not allow them a part to play in the worship experience or in the program of God, because you do not want them contaminating. And so you officially say, brother so-and-so is no longer serving in this position or is no longer an active member in fellowship with us because he or she does not want to adhere to the word of God, and we will not tolerate that heathenistic behavior in the church of God. We're supposed to be holy, not heathens. And every now and then we fall, but we get up. Now, if they want to stay there, then it's their business, and they no longer have fellowship as long as they want to remain on the ground. Hear me well, because that's how disorder takes over. That's how the kind of infectious spirit spread in the church. Because they say, well, if he let so-and-so do it, I wish he would call me up in front of the church. I wish they would tell me something about this and that and the other. They ain't say nothing to brother so-and-so. Well, you know brother so-and-so kind of crazy acting. I'm crazy too. See, you just bring out all that mess out of people. You're like, no, brother, we ain't accepting that kind of foolishness. It's not going on here. Listen at this word, because I want you to see that's confronting a brother. But now after you confront a brother, I need you to see now the next position tells us about how to forgive a brother. Because this is interesting. Let's look at this, because I want us to see as you walk down this word. And let's just get to verse 21. Because in forgiving a brother, we see what Peter thought. What Peter thought. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Until seven times? This is what Peter thought. Now listen at this. Peter, you know, he thought he was thinking right. Think he was thinking spiritual. He thought he was getting in with Jesus by saying, Lord, now I hear you saying to forgive my brother, but if he sins against me, and this means that this is intentional, it is willful. I'm not talking about stuff he didn't know he did or she didn't know she did. I'm talking about they knew what they were doing. How often shall I forgive my brother or sister I mean, when they sin against me, shall I forgive them seven times? Now, that's what Peter thought. But the next verse reveals what Jesus taught. Now, what you think and what Jesus teaches, many times are very different. Look at what Jesus taught. Jesus taught in verse 22. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Listen at this. Amen. Now, Peter goes to him. He said, it's clear enough. Then said Peter, verse 21 to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Now listen at this, because Jesus is teaching about how to get along with your brother and your sister. Peter is hearing this, but you know, Peter's one who had a little a temper tantrum problem. He had, you know, short fuse issues. He spoke what he felt, you know. Peter, you riled him up, he'll get to cussing you right now. You know, you make him mad, he pull out the sword. You know, Peter had issues. So when Peter said seven times, Peter said, I know the Lord gonna pat me on the back and say, whoo, Peter, that's good, man. I ain't think you'd get past one. And then Jesus teaches 70 times seven. Another writer records that Peter said, Lord, increase my faith. Because the truth of the matter is, Lord, I'm struggling with forgiving one time. One time. And if we'll be real, many of us are at that place where Peter was when he was dealing with forgiving somebody one time. Now, the Lord is going to deal with that, because what you got to realize is, and I want to throw this out parenthetically, that when you won't forgive somebody the one time, that one time that you do not forgive that person, you carry the burden and the weight of unforgiveness on your shoulder. You take up needed space in your mind, in your brain, holding on to the matter of unforgiveness, becoming difficult and hard to get along with, cranky and delusional and all of that, because you are unforgiving. It messes with your psyche. It messes with your spirit. When you're unforgiving, listen at this, you've got to keep remembering that you don't like that person. You got to keep remembering why you don't like that person. You got to keep remembering what they've done. You keep making fresh, opening up the wound of not forgiving that person keeps you sick. Sick-hearted, sick-minded, keeps you walking and working toward vengeance, which God says is his. When you do not forgive a person, listen, you do not stop that person from living life. You stop yourself from living life. And that's why it's not worth not forgiving anybody, whether or not they accept your forgiveness or not. You forgive, listen at this, other folk for you. I'm going to say that again. You forgive other folk, listen, for you. Yes, you do release them if you forgive them, but whether they want releasing or not, you release yourself from all of those internal issues, and may I add, eternal issues, because you are not forgiving. I want you to see, because as we walk through this word, there are some things we're going to see. We talked about confronting a brother. We talked about forgiving a brother. But now I want to talk about mistreating a brother. Because see, if you don't confront a brother, you're liable not to forgive a brother. And if you don't forgive a brother, then you are likely to mistreat a brother or a sister. Let's go in the word. I want you to see this with me, because I want to deal with this mistreating of a brother. Look at verse 23. It says, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Listen at this. Take account of his servants. Verse 24 says, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Verse 25 says, but for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. This was the law and instruction in the Old Testament time. You got into debt to the point where you could not pay your bills, there was no bankruptcy. I want you to hear me here. You're going to pay your debt one way or the other. Look at what, again, the consequences were. The Lord, his Lord, commanded him to be sold and his wife. And after he wasn't enough to pay the bill, they sold his wife. She wasn't enough to pay the bill. They sold the children. Children wasn't enough to pay the bill. Everything he had and had entitlement to, sold all of that for payment to be made. Now look at how clear this was now about the repayment of bills. Man, do you know if that institute, that system was instituted today, we wouldn't have the massive deficits that we have, and folk would be in a much better. Matter of fact, you'd be able to get just about anything you want because your credit would be good. If you know you couldn't pay your bill, they would sell you, your wife, your children, everything you've got, all your inheritance, everything. Listen, you would be paying your bills and paying them ahead of time. Thank God for grace, periods. Be like, where's Sister So-and-so today? Child, they tell me. Her creditors came, got her. She was getting ready for church this morning. All right, we all talking about mistreating a brother now. Let's go back.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you, and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1.
You put your hand.
Call up somebody. Tell them it's